Hello, and welcome to episode 23 of the Transient Wool Merchants. We're your hosts, Amy.
And Scooter Pie.
And we're here in the studio on the Ross Farm, coming to you, well, live via recording. So, we're trying to get into a schedule where we record every other week. We're a little bit late this time, but we've been on the road. So we hope that you'll forgive us. And we've gotten a lot of really good feedback on the last episode, so we're really excited to continue. Our first segment is always called She's Crafty. And what I'm currently working on is the Transitus Hat Test Knit by Laura Nelkin. It is so cool. You know I'm a huge Laura Nelkin fan.
And Laura Nelkin always does such cool stuff. And it's different.
This one is, actually you and I haven't talked about this. This one is, started from the top down.
Okay.
So it's very different. It's done in a worsted weight. So, I'm either doing it in Jackson or Stella or both. I sort of have swatched in both of those and I haven't made up my mind whether I want my hat to be brown or gray.
Cool.
And then every time I look at it, I think, you know, this would be gorgeous in our white Cotswold as well. I think Anna would be a good... So...
Does it have beads on it? Her stuff always has beads on it.
No, it's called Transitus because it has a lot of traveling stitches.
Okay.
I
don't know what that means, but I'll go with you.
You know how I do the slip stitch things? And
sure.
Remember when I just did the mystery cowlette and it had all of the loops of yarn going different directions?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so those are traveling stitches. And this has loops of yarn going different directions.
Cool.
I think you're really going to like it. It's for you, P.S.
Awesome.
I'm also... So we've been cleaning the studio, right?
Yeah.
And... Every time, okay, so the studio has no heat or air conditioning in it. It's a little cottage that was built in our backyard in 1930, when my grandparents came home and announced they'd eloped.
Yes, so it's about 90 degrees in here right now. Just
yeah, we
very
had to
comfortable.
We had to turn the fan off so that it wouldn't make noise. So there's no heat or air conditioning in here. So in the wintertime... we pretty much just run in and grab what we need and run back out, because it's freezing. And things that don't need to be in the house and need to be in the studio also just sort of get tossed into the studio from the door in the wintertime. So every spring there needs to be a major reorganization and overhaul. And I just brought a vintage... China closet in here to store some of my yarn because I do have stash beyond life expectancy.
Yes.
And we will not be discussing that because you said something the other day that was very unkind.
What? That it, you could knit for another 10 years without having to buy yarn ever again?
That's blasphemy.
You could.
I could, but it'd be ugly. I don't mean the pieces. I mean, it'd be ugly for you, because new yarn is my jam.
Yeah.
So, it's in your best interest to not make those statements again. That was a very man thing to say.
Yeah.
So, anyways, in cleaning the studio, I was able to find my half-finished pair of Sugar Skull socks that I was making for you.
Yeah.
So they're OMG heel toe-up socks, the pattern's by Megan Williams, and they're in your Dia de los Muertos colorway from Desert Vista Dye Works that you picked out, because little known fact about Scooter Pie, he loves Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah. All the little, like the mariachi skeleton guys, those are just so cool.
So I'm making him a pair of those socks, and without Anne and Janice... to help me finish them.
Yeah.
They'll take a couple days longer.
Yeah.
I actually picked them up last night, and I'm turning the heel on the first one. I also cast on a second Always cowl by Laura Nalkin. I knit one. Okay, so that was a kit from the Lola Club, from Laura's Lola Club.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I got it, I immediately cast on one in sort of a lilac violet kind of color for our son's girlfriend, Jessie. And I made that one first and gave it to her, so now I'm making one for myself, because it's a really, really nice purse project.
Yeah.
So that was the point of that. And then, you know how Anne from the Carolina Fiber Girls has been absolutely hounding me to join her in the corner-to-corner blanket craziness.
Okay.
So that's also on, that's my crochet project. I'm going to teach myself crochet by knitting a giant blanket, because that's pretty much, that's pretty much how we roll, huh?
Okay, that seems to work. Now, is that one of those things that uses up all your scraps of stuff?
Absolutely, very good. Yeah, so all of my little scraps that I've been tossing in the basket up there, remember the basket that tipped mm-hmm. and you had to throw more balls back into yesterday? That's the seeds for my blanket. And actually, Shannon, our friend Cajun Girl Knits, is making one now, too.
Cool.
And she gave me some little mini skeins of her stuff when we stopped at her house on the way back from Dallas, and those are going into the blanket, too. I'm always looking for little scraps from my friends. This is a little memory, you know, crocheted into the giant blanket from hell. Also, the Laura Nalkin M Club kit just came, and the launch date was June 9th. So, she has a gorgeous gradient, that I absolutely love. It's like blue through teal into violet. And that's the Aquifer scarf, and I am starting that. La Dame Blanche, the Hring scarf, the Creatrix, they're all still on the needles, and I breeze past those. Creatrix is kind of in time out right now because I tried to knit on it when I was too tired and I sort of jacked up a whole section.
Yeah.
I gotta tear that back.
You tell me about that.
And I'm sort of angry with it. And Hring kind of got sidetracked because all I could find was a set of bamboo straight needles, and it's a linenish yarn, and they were fighting, so I just found my Chagu red lace, and so I think the linen will slide better on that. It just seemed like the plants wanted to meld into one and become, you know, a linen bamboo fusion, so that was frustrating. It got set aside. I am still spinning the braid of Polworth silk on the e-spinner, and for the foreseeable future, I'll be spinning the sweater's worth of Moonbear. Because, I mean, how many pounds of that do I have?
Like 10?
Okay, if you just heard that strange noise in the background, that's the noise a peacock makes. Freddy is apparently out the back door of our studio here, and he just made that weird sort of honking noise. So, if any of our animals wander past while we're recording, I'll always be sure to point that out. I do have two finished objects.
Yay!
So, the first one is super special. It's the Fairy Hill Shawl by Helen Stewart. And you know why it's special.
Because it's Fairy Hill? Oh, it's the... You're making it out of the yarn I got you for Mother's Day from Destination.
Yes, it's Destination yarn in the Cinderella's Castle colorway that she did for our first retreat.
Yeah.
And you picked it up for me at the retreat and gave it to me for Mother's Day.
Yeah, I was going to give it to you for your birthday, but I thought, no, I don't think I can hold on to that till for that long.
And I'm so glad that you did give it to me for Mother's Day, because I cast on, like, immediately. It was like, forget dinner, I'm just going to go cast on this shawl. Because, so the Fairy Hill shawl is beaded, lightly beaded.
Mm.
And so with the sparkle of the Cinderella's castle and the pale blue with the silver flashed clear beads, it was just sort of absolutely perfect, a perfect pairing. And I was super excited to do that. So I finished that one, and I did the small size. And I also finished the Nugget Peds by Laura Nalkin. So that's what I've been crafting away on lately. Oh, and including the studio, I also found my small floor loom. I was able to uncover it. So I'm hopeful that we'll get that warped in the foreseeable future, since the one thing I did get at Worcester was a warping loom. A warping board.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's late in the day here, and I'm a little bit stupid. So that takes us into our next section in the rearview mirror. Tell the folks about Great Lakes Fiber Festival in Worcester.
Well, Great Lakes Fiber Festival, it's a nice small festival. It's not too far from us. You would almost say it's one of our local festivals, local-ish, because it's less than 3 hours.
Right below Cleveland.
Right below Cleveland. And this year was actually a pretty good year. You know, in the past, it's been one of these festivals where Sunday is the new Saturday, and we don't do any sales, hardly any sales on Saturday, and think, oh, we're not coming back. And then Sunday, everyone shows up and shops at our booth, and we make up for it.
And we get to see a lot of our friends there.
Yeah.
This time we had a couple of our local friends who were helping out and covering booths for a couple of our other local vendor friends. And so it was nice to be able to hang out with them. And we always get to see Sue and Richard of Twin Birch. And Jeannie from Destination. And you picked up that skein of Hocking Hills from her new Ohio Kellerways collection. Which, if you haven't seen the photo for Hocking Hills on her Instagram, that's
epic. It's really cool. It's got all the skeins of yarn in the front and the waterfall that inspired them behind it.
Yep. She's really interesting. We really like Jean. But another cool thing about Great Lakes is it's attached to a fleece show and a sheep show and sale.
Yes.
So I always have to keep you in the booth so that you don't come home.
Yeah, but it's mostly Lincolns, and that's nothing really.
Well, it's nothing that we raise currently. Yeah. But I'm always afraid that there's going to be a Shetland there, and it's going to end up in your beard.
I went and looked. I didn't see any.
I know you did. You always do. Scooter has a Shetland problem. If there's a Shetland to be found, he will find it and possibly purchase it. I'm always worried that we're going to have to call for the boy with the truck and the trailer at every show we go to. But we also went to TNNA in Columbus.
Yes.
TNNA is the National Needle Arts Association's summer trade show.
Trade show.
Yeah. So they take over the convention center, and we got to see a lot of our favorite people.
And that's kind of cool, because we're not actually vendors at that. We're shoppers.
Right. That's where we go to find cool things to put in our booth for you guys, like the jewel closures and the unicorn fiber wash.
Books.
And, yeah, we pick out our books and our magazines, and we talk with designers about designing in our yarn. And we talk with other yarn companies about possibly using our yarn as a base. And it's really a great place for us to make connections with other people in the industry without worrying about doing our retail business
at the same time. Yeah. Right.
So it's super fun to sort of run loose. It's like a candy store fiber arts.
Yeah, definitely.
And this year we got to hang out with our friend Danielle from Fiberspace in Alexandria.
And Olga.
And Olga. Olga Jazzy. We got to meet her. She was so much fun. And, of course, I got to hug Stephen West because it's a good day if I get to hug Stephen West. And he was wearing the most adorable little embroidered mesh shorts. I don't think you noticed that, but...
If you say so.
They were awesome.
If you say so.
And who else did we see there? We saw a lot of fun people.
Well...
Liz Gibson was there. She was doing a book signing. Of course. She's teaching at our retreat, and she has a new book out called Handwoven Home, which, you know, I'm now into weaving, too, so that was awesome.
Yeah, that's something I'd like to try, some weaving. I think I could maybe get into that.
I think you'd be really good at it.
Yeah.
Did you know historically most weavers...
were men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, we got to see Barbara Benson.
We did get to see Barbara Benson.
Who designed the La Dame Blanche.
And the whole Sprout...
Yeah, the whole Sprout crew. We love the Sprout girls. That is the group put together by Heather Zepetti, mm-hmm. Stitch Sprouts. There's Angela Tong... and Julie Williams? No. I'll have to look up her name. I'll put it in the show notes. But there's a group of designers, and they're amazing.
Yeah.
Karina Ferguson is one of them, but she wasn't there this year.
She wasn't with them, but she was at the show.
Oh, yeah, we did see Karina, but she wasn't in the booth there.
Yeah.
But Barbara had a book signing, because she has another new book out. And that book is... the mosaic stitch that she's obsessed with now, which is like our La Dame Blanche. And she is just so much fun. I love Barbara. And she's so adorable. She wrote, so we went to her book signing, and she signed a book for me, and the inscription she put inside my book is, "Next time your yarn will be in here," which I'm counting that as a contract.
Yeah. She signed it.
She signed it. It's a contract.
It's a contract.
No, but we love Barbara. She makes, some of her patterns are amazing and ridiculous. Like, your favorite one that she did in her men's collection.
Oh, then Now You Must Die, Mr. Bond?
Frankly, Mr. Bond, I Expect You to Die.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
No, Mr. Bond, I Expect You to Die. Yeah, it was, it's really gorgeous. We should definitely, I'll check that one out. So, TNNA was amazing and fabulous, and we'll talk about the food when we get to that section. But who else did we see at TNNA? We saw so many people, and I was so exhausted.
Well, for a good part of it, we hung out with Janice and...
Janice and Lucy. Janice is from Carolina Fiber Girls, and Lucy is the new owner of the Yarn Basket in Charlotte, and she is... the sweetest person. We had such a good time with her. I wish Anne would have been there too, because Anne's always a good time. But
Anne doesn't get to go play at a lot of the things.
She has to be the school nurse most everywhere. But we had a really, really good time at TNNA.
Yeah.
I feel like there's somebody that we're totally forgetting. We hugged on so many people. We had so much fun.
Yeah, I...
absolutely had a blast. Melanie from Unicorn.
Yeah, Melanie from Unicorn.
I just adore her. I just want to put her in my pocket and take her everywhere.
Stephanie from Space Cadet. Saw her.
I forgot Steph. Oh, that I'm a horrible person. Space Cadet is one of our local Pittsburgh girls. You know, we got to support our local girls. And so that was one of our first stops, was to see Stephanie at Space Cadet. And she's doing, you don't get the newsletter, but you should all sign up for the newsletter. She is doing pairings now of two different yarn bases dyed in the same colorway because not being a dyer, this is not something I was totally aware of. I kind of thought, yeah, that makes sense, but I was shocked at the difference. she does the same colorway on two different bases, and the materials in the base take the dye differently.
Yeah.
So it looks very, very different.
Right. Yeah, from yeah one sometimes skin to you the can other. Hardly believe that they're the same colors because right. they're that different. Yeah.
And pairing those together for projects and striping and such, oh my God, it's just spectacular. She's a wizard. That's all there is to it.
Oh, yeah.
She's a wizard. So the only other place that we have been, thank you, Lord, was Disney's Coronado Springs Resort. I went down.
You arrived. I didn't get to go.
Excuse me. I went down and met with the staff and got the catering menus all chosen. And, it's going to be epic. The food, I mean, we were on Disney property last year, but this time we're actually at a Disney resort
right.
on Disney property. And the food last year was amazing, and I think the food this year is going to be exponentially amazing. But I had a little meetup while I was there.
Yeah.
I hooked up with Laura from Four Pearls Yarn Shop.
Yeah.
And we had a pretty good turnout. Jana and Malie
yeah.
came out.
Yeah.
Jana is the sister of Malie, and Malie is one of our SSK friends. And Malie just happened to be in
Florida.
Florida, visiting Jana at the same time I was there. So she was able to come over.
And we ran into Malie at Wooster, because that's where she grew up.
Right. She's actually from, like, Cincinnati.
Yeah, like, Cincinnati area.
So, that was really cool to see them. And the highlight of the evening, and I don't even think I told you about this.
Probably not.
So the highlight of the evening was one of the women who had signed up for the retreat sent her husband over to make sure that we had gotten her registration
mm-hmm.
and to see if there was anything else she needed to do. Well, the gentleman happened to be a Disney employee, so since he was already there working and on property, she said, hey, swing by, they're having a meetup, and make sure that everything's good and I don't have to do anything else. And so it turns out the guy is one of the Imagineers that works at Disney, and his thing is maintenance and refurbishment of all of the rides and stuff across okay. property. He works with that whole group. So we ended up having this whole big conversation about the steam trains.
Okay.
And sending the steam trains out to be refurbished here in Pennsylvania,
yeah.
Strasburg, and getting the Lily Bell back and all of the refurbishments that they'd made to the Lily Bell, and how, you know, the Walt is up here being refurbished right now, and all of the issues that they run into with literally 100-year-old steam trains.
Right.
You can't just, you know, call Napa and get
parts
for them. They have to be machined and
fabricated
from scratch.
Yeah.
And so we were also talking about, like, the Wedway People Mover and the difficulties with maintaining the Carousel of Progress, because those are, like, two of my favorite things.
Most of that stuff was all probably fabricated from scratch to start with, so...
And it was. And, you know, the Magic Kingdom is circa 1971.
Yeah.
But the Carousel of Progress was made for the 66 World's Fair.
Yeah.
So... It was already 5 years old by the time they moved it for, like, the third or fourth time to the Florida project, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
And so they've, you know, had some issues with updating that throughout the years. And that was all very, very cool. I mean, I'm just sitting there having a margarita, you know, knitting on my fairy hill, and, like, having a backstage conversation with an actual Disney cast member.
An Imagineer.
Yeah. And he was telling me about, you know, getting the new rides up and running and the refurbishments and stuff, and how, you know, the new rides are ready quite a bit before they're actually open to the public, because they have to run them for, like, a couple of months to fine-tune them before they can even do a soft opening.
Yeah.
And the one story that really stuck with me and I thought was absolutely fascinating and hysterical was when they took down Maelstrom and turned it into Frozen Ever After.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing they had to do was empty the flume and clean the flume blower and fan that actually makes the water flow through the flume to keep the boats moving.
Right.
And after the cleaning and refurbishment, the water in the flume was like 10 times faster than it was when Maelstrom was up and running.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had to like reverse engineer a way to slow down the flume so that you weren't like catapulted into Arendelle.
Right.
And, you know, so that when you get to the point where the giant snowman is, that is your favorite part, that you weren't just, like, launched down that ramp into the next section and, you know, slow enough that you could actually hear and see the animatronics as they're going by instead of just, like, blowing past them. And one of the things that he worked on was the animatronics for Frozen Ever After.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it was even astonishing to him, having built them, once they were assembled and all put together and dressed, and the faces, you know, came online. Because if you've never been on Frozen Ever After, it's one of the most astonishing rides at Disney, because their faces are so lifelike, and I don't have any explanation for that. But very, very cool, anyways, speaking with him. So I just really... That was a highlight of the entire evening. I had a great time knitting with the girls,
mm-hmm.
but just hearing his stories was sort of amazing. So, our next segment is Down the Road, and you know where we are next, right, babe?
Where are we next?
We're going to see the girls.
Going to see the girls?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, the Super Summer Knit Together. How could I forget about that?
That's your favorite show of the year, because you get to go to the Johnny Cash Museum and the Academy of Country Music and Hatch Show Print. I take classes.
Get to go shop for, you know, $20,000 guitars at Grun Guitars. And
that will not be happening.
Yeah, I don't get to buy any, but I can...
You can pretend.
Pretend.
Well, you have a Gretsch. That's almost as good.
I do. Yes, almost as good. Yeah, and of course, all the cool food in Nashville. We go to all the awesome places. The Peg Leg Porker barbecue joint. The first year we went, that we discovered it, and we told everyone there about it. And the next year, we took like.
Seven carloads?
We took like six people with us.
Oh, yeah.
And the year after that, we took like three carloads. And the year after that, last year, we took like, you know, 10 carloads of people. I think half the retreat went with us to the barbecue joint.
That night, and the other half went the next night.
Yeah.
Like, everybody who wasn't vegetarian was at Peg Leg Porker.
Yeah, pretty much.
So when we're at SSK, one of the things that we do is we sort of semi-host culinary adventures. We have a couple of favorite places that we take people with us and have big meetups for dinner.
And we're always happy to take a group of people along with us to dinner. And it retreats, a lot of people don't know a lot of people to start with. And so we just get, like, people to come to dinner with us and
order a couple appetizers and a couple of cocktails. And pretty soon everybody's friends.
Yep.
Yeah, so we've met a ton of people like that.
And yeah.
That's a really big highlight for us, I know. Because you may or may not know this, but Scooter Pie is sort of quiet.
I am? I didn't know.
Yep. So we're off to SSK in just about 30 days, I think.
Yeah, a little over, about around a month, yeah.
And if you've never been to the Super Summer Knit Together, that is something you absolutely have to put on your list. The classes and the teachers are amazing. But my favorite thing, really, is the try-it-on room and the tasting room.
Yeah, those are really cool. And
even you like to play in the tasting room.
Oh, yeah. They've got all the toys. I mean, anything you could ever imagine. Spinning wheels, needles.
Blending boards,
pickers, drop spindles, you name it. They've got a sample of it in the sample room. And we actually take, what did we take last year?
Year we took like 5 or 7 spinning wheels.
Yeah, because we've got quite a few different ones, like the Custom Classic.
Oh, we've got the oddballs, all right.
And so we bring those for people to try out.
I'm almost tempted to take the Norman Hall this year, just so people can actually touch one.
Yeah. Maybe we'll find a buyer for it.
I don't know about that. Since I sold the other ones, I'm not sure that I'm going to let Norm go.
Okay.
I like looking at Norm, even if I never get to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then in August... August is our local county fair.
Yeah, and in the past we've shown our asses. Miniature donkeys, that is.
Now you just ruined our clean rating. Even though we were talking about donkeys and not our backsides.
Yeah.
But and yes, I really want to get a bumper sticker that says I showed my you-know-what at the Washington County Fair. Because I did. Little Coca-Cola, my little donkey Jack. What is he, 3 times or 4 times returning grand champion?
3 times, I think.
At least. He's amazing. But this year, we want to take Scarlet and Sunny.
Yeah, we've got two of our Jennies have foaled recently. Scarlet just a couple weeks ago and Silverbell back in February.
January.
It was February.
Okay.
And show them and their babies because everyone loves babies at the county fair.
And there is absolutely nothing cuter than a baby miniature donkey.
No, not at all. I mean, they're adorable.
Possibly the hedgehogs. The hedgehogs are pretty cute.
Maybe. I don't know.
But, and maybe Stinkerbell. Stinkerbell's in the studio with us.
Yes.
She's chewing a hole in the...
And...
dog bed.
A young friend of ours, Logan, who lives over the hill, is showing...
He's doing an FFA project.
FFA project and showing some sheep.
Yeah, he's taking Miss Diva.
Miss Diva.
That's a Romney... well, she will be a breeding ewe. But she's in the breeding stock class. She's not a market lamb. We all decided that it would be too sad to raise something and then have to let it go. So he chose Miss Diva, the Black Romney breeding ewe.
Yeah, and we may take some sheep. I'm toying with the idea of showing my Shetlands. I don't know. We'll see.
We've had some bad experiences with taking our sheep to the fair. It exposes them to uneducated folks who think that our smaller breeds are tiny babies, even though they are just as old as the other sheep in the sheep show, and they have tried to feed them French fries and funnel cakes and, unfortunately, horse treats, and just public service announcement. Horse treats contain copper, and copper is toxic to sheep.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure you can figure out what happened when the unknowing but well-meaning folks fed the copper-laced horse treats to my sheep, but let's say I'm not tempted to take my sheep back to the fair.
Yeah.
So that could happen. We don't know. We haven't made a decision yet. But always remember, don't feed things to the animals at the fair, because...
Yes.
They are on very specific diets, and things that look like they should be cool are actually toxic.
Yeah.
So, then we have the whole fall schedule, but, November is also the next retreat at Disney's Coronado Springs. It is going to be epic. We mentioned that. So, what's cooking, good looking?
What's cooking? Well, we're going to have burrito bowls for dinner tonight.
This is your weird new invention.
I don't think I invented it.
I don't think you did either, but it's become kind of a staple in our menu repertoire. Yeah,
it has. Well, I mean, it's just so good. I mean, and it's basically...
It's
everything you would make in a burrito, but you just put it in a bowl instead of wrapping up in a tortilla.
Because one time we decided we were having tortillas or having burritos for supper, and it turned out we had no tortillas.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, when I go to Chipotle, I get
mm-hmm.
everything in a bowl, because when I try to eat a burrito at Chipotle, it explodes all over me. So I've just cut out the middleman and put it in a bowl, and then there's nothing to explode. But you make them either with taco meat or with grilled chicken breast.
Grilled chicken breast, yeah.
And what else?
Oh, rice, beans, obviously a lot of cheese, and then I do, it's the simplest thing. You just open up a can of corn, and there's this cilantro squeeze stuff. It's in a tube in the grocery store. I think it has lime juice in it to help preserve it. But you just add some of that to the corn, and it is so good.
Yeah, you're like...
It's a really simple corn salsa, but it's just corn. Corn and cilantro and lime juice.
Which sounds really simple, but is sort of amazing.
It is.
For the amount of effort that goes into it, it's stellar.
Yeah.
So that's what you're cooking for supper tonight. And you also got that pork butt. We're going to have barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Any excuse to fire up the big green egg. When it's this hot, egg. We'd rather cook outside.
Yeah. Want to do the pork butt, we'll definitely do that on the egg. Low and slow, like all day long.
That sounds good to me. So, you want to give your barn report?
Barn report. Well, the big thing in the past couple weeks in the barn has been we weaned the lambs. and that was an all-day thing. And the young kid who lives over the hill that's doing the FFA project, Logan, we had to call him in to come help us because we were having trouble getting all the sheep and the lambs into the barn.
It is not a two-person project.
After multiple attempts, we still didn't get every lamb in that one shot. I think there were like four that evaded being taken from their mothers. But we penned them up in the barn, and they bawled for like 2 days.
So but, when we wean, everybody gets their booster shot.
Yeah, they get booster shots and get checked out.
And they get a total physical assessment.
Yeah.
They get wormed if they need it, and nobody needed wormed.
No.
That was sort of amazing. Because it's hot as blazes here, and we had a lot of wet weather.
Yeah, well, and the pastures are like up to your knees practically. I mean, they're so
lush and green. That's one of the problems we've had is grass poops.
Yeah.
But everybody got their booster shot. Everybody was good. But it's funny the dynamic when we're weaning. You know, like 3/4 of the flock is like, oh, thank goodness, they're finally going to daycare and I don't have to take care of them anymore. And the other 25% is like, Amber Alert! Amber Alert! They're stealing our children! And, I mean, they're just in the barn. They're in the pasture next to them. They can see them through the fence.
Yeah.
But, like, 25% of our sheep are such great mothers that they do not want to be separated from them. For at least 3 days. And then they're like, oh, hey, you're right there. We're fine.
Yeah.
And basically, the only reason that we wean the lambs from the mothers is so that the mother's udders can dry up and their milk can dry up. And, they can put some weight on them on themselves now.
Right.
And stop feeding lambs that are three quarters their size and jacking them up off the ground.
Yeah.
To get milk.
Yeah, there's nothing funnier than
a pair of twins lifting the ewe completely off the ground in the back end.
Yeah.
To nurse at the same time when they're, you know, two thirds of her size.
Yeah, but I'm really pleased with our lamb crop this year. We've got quite a collection of nice purebred sheep. If anyone's looking for good breeding stock, contact us.
Yeah, we have four or five Jacob Ram lambs that are pretty spectacular.
Oh yeah. Some four-horned and two-horned, and which was surprising because our Jacob Ram is a two-horned ram, so we weren't sure if we would get four-horned rams.
But their mothers are four-horned, so we did. And we have some gorgeous Shetlands.
Yes.
Your girls did a good job this year.
Yes, they did.
And I have Leicester Longwool ram lambs out of three different fathers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is super exciting because the rams that we used this year are three different lines that we're really, really trying to preserve. And the last pair that we've been bottle feeding is actually out of a 10-year-old ram. And 10 is super, super old for a ram.
Yes.
He is on his way in a couple of weeks to the SVF Foundation, which is the Smithsonian's Biodiversity Preservation Program. And he's going to be collected for preservation for the future before he passes away.
Yeah.
So we have been working hard for the last year to not only make some offspring, but to keep Grandpa on his feet until he can get to the Smithsonian to make his final deposit before. And hopefully he'll do well there and come back here and spend the rest of his days with us.
Yeah.
Because, well...
And Duke is the sweetest old ram. And until it's mating season.
With his girls.
And then you don't even want to go in the field with him.
He's very serious about his job.
Yes.
But when he's off duty, he's like the little old man that sits at the diner and drinks coffee all day and just wants to hang out and talk with anybody that comes in.
Yeah.
But he's also built like a little old man.
He's got a little skinny and a pot belly. Yeah.
Yeah. We love Duke. I'm so glad that he came here for his final stop on his world tour.
Yeah.
But we definitely, I mean, even if he lives to be 14, I would never sell him.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be here with us for the rest of his life. He's just so cool. And then we've got Hamilton and the Earl of Vlasic.
The Earl of Vlasic, yes.
And Flynn, our black ram.
Flynn Rider, Ram Extraordinaire.
Yep. They're all here, too.
And Hamilton is just as nice and sweet as Duke is. We got Hamilton, and when he came, he hadn't been shorn in like a year and a half. And so he had a really heavy fleece. He was ratty and kind of matted. And we had him in a box stall when we first got him, and I would go in and...
Because we do confinement
And I would
watch
everybody
when we first got him.
And when I fed, I would always scratch him behind his ears and under his chin, and he seemed to really enjoy that. And I was like, man, you're really matted. And so one day I just took a pair of scissors and started cutting mats off. And I ended up, like, shearing the whole sheep with a pair of scissors because...
While he stood there.
He just stood there while I did it.
He wasn't restrained. He wasn't tied up. He was just hanging out, waiting for you to get the load off.
Yeah, because they were so matted and probably pulling at his skin and stuff. And I'm sure he felt a lot better once they were all gone.
You know, I wish we didn't have so many stories like that.
Yeah.
I wish we didn't gather up so many poor things. I'm glad that we can. I'm glad that we have the ability to do that. But I wish a lot of them were in better condition when they got here. But anyways, we certainly do love Hamilton, and he'll be staying here long term as well.
Yep.
So the boy right now has been putting up hay. We've got, 6-7 wagon loads?
Six wagons.
Yeah. Into the barn so far. And that was just in a couple quick little spurts that we had. Because to put up hay, we have to have 3 good days. Because you cut one day, you rake the second day, and then you bale on the third day.
Yeah.
It's a long, hot, drawn-out process.
And you also need to have help to unload the wagons.
Yeah, because this is not a one-person job, although we have had to try to do it as a one-person job.
I have in the past.
Yeah. Well, I did before I ever met you.
Yeah.
Because before I met you, I was farming with a pair of twin 80-somethings, and they drove the tractors, and I threw all the bales. And that was back before we had a kicker baler.
Right.
So I was wandering around the field picking them up myself. And driving the truck and driving the tractor. And yeah, my favorite picture. My favorite picture is the one of me when I came straight from work. And I was in a suit and red pumps on the tractor. Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
But from back when I was...
I remember I took it.
A fancy lady. That's right, you did take that photo. That's my favorite. That's pretty much what my life was like before we started farming full time.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, leave the party, there's rain coming, get on the tractor. I've rounded up sheep before a big rain in a cocktail dress and heels. I've driven the tractor in red pumps. It was kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to do what you got to do to get it done. Anyways, we digress. That was a bad slip. Anyways, the kid is also planting sweet corn, several types of pumpkins, sunflower, squash, and melons. He has partnered with the local farm market and also a farm-to-table restaurant here in town. They're currently using our eggs for their weekend brunch and for the poutine.
Nice.
And that's sort of epic. He's.
I could go for some poutine.
Yeah, maybe we should have poutine for dinner.
Yeah.
And we found out a fun fact this week. White vinegar is an organic weed killer. You heard it here first, folks.
We're just full of public service announcements.
We're just full of weird facts that nobody cares about. So anyways, today was also kind of a red letter day for us. We added another breed to the portfolio here at the Ross Farm. Today we added Arnie and Carlos.
Yeah.
They are CVM Rommeldales. We won't be breeding CVM Rommeldales, at least for the time being, we won't be. We are adding some Weathers to our fiber flock so that we can have CVM product without having the added drama of another ram.
Another breed to keep away from...
Yeah, another ram to keep from getting to...
And the great things about Weathers is they don't have to do anything but make an awesome fleece.
Right, right. If you're,
so they do make awesome fleeces.
If you're ever fleece shopping and you see that the fleece is a Weather, pay special attention to it, because that's the great thing about Weather fleeces, whether they're purebred or crossbred. That's the noise a guinea makes. I feel like we're playing the Fisher-Price CNCE here.
Yeah.
So the thing about Weathers is all they do is grow fiber. They don't have pregnancy. They don't have any kind of breeding drama.
Yeah.
They don't get, you know, all worked up like the rams do. They just eat grass and make fleece. So that is an awesome thing to think about when you're buying a fleece. Really pay attention to those Weather fleeces. And when I went to pick them up, one was named Arnie, and the other one was named something that I thought was stupid. And I immediately thought of Arnie and Carlos, because that's one of my favorite sock yarn designs. They have pre-patterned sock yarn. So Arnie and Carlos are the names of our CVMs. Our next section is Foodie Finds, and this is, I should call it Scooty's Foodie Finds, because this is Scooter Pie's very favorite portion of the event.
Oh, yeah. Eating. Who doesn't love to eat? Not talking about eating. Not actually eating, but, you know. And so, we all... Anytime we go to a show, we always try to go to great places. And
we try to keep it local. We don't do chains.
Yeah. Yeah, because how boring is that? Who goes to a different city and just goes to, like, Denny's?
A lot of people.
Yeah. Well, they're boring. We're not boring.
Right.
But when we were in Worcester for Great Lakes, we went to a couple of our favorite ones. Broken Rocks. We went the first night.
It's a neat little, like, bistro gastro pub.
Yeah.
And it's farm to table as much as possible.
Yep.
And they have a really cool bread bakery that's integral in the restaurant. So that's really cool. And they had beet salad, which...
They did have beet salad.
Which is sort of my jam. And you had a wood-fired pizza, didn't you?
Did I?
I think you had an artichoke... Here. Chicken yeah, and artichoke wood-fired pizza.
I think I did.
And we had dinner, of course, with a couple of friends.
Yeah.
And
of course, they sat us down at a table right next to some other friends.
Yep. Sue and Richard, from Twin Birch. And that was a spectacular restaurant. We really enjoyed that. And then for your birthday...
Yeah. Because, yeah, Worcester's always on my birthday. We went to the City Square Steakhouse, which was awesome.
Always.
Always. And I had the four-layer lobster lasagna, which had, like, cream sauce and cheese.
And everybody says you shouldn't have, like, cheese and seafood, but...
Oh, it was decadent and amazing. It was incredible. And then...
And I had a steak as usual.
And you had filet as usual. Mm-hmm. And after that...
I'm nothing if not predictable.
Yeah, after that we went to the ice cream place.
It's, what is that, Dairy Delight or...
Something like that, but they have...
Dairy Twist.
They have really great sundaes and stuff.
It's a local place.
Yeah, it's not like a chain.
And they have amazing sundaes and really good homemade ice cream.
And we got there just in time because I think they closed right after they served
They us. Did, they did. They pretty much handed us our ice cream and turned out the lights.
Yeah.
But we had a couple of friends with us there, too, and so we had a nice little ice cream social of our own there on the front porch.
And
then your favorite place for breakfast.
The Farmer Boy restaurant, which it looks like it used to be like a Denny's or something, or like a pancake house, but it's just...
It's absolutely nondescript.
It's nondescript and, like, no-frills, just good breakfast.
Yeah. And... That's the key when you're on the road doing shows like we do, is you gotta have a good breakfast, because there's no guarantee that lunch is going to happen.
Right.
Which, that was the other weird thing about Worcester, is for some reason, in that area, the steak... Like, we're used to Philly steak hoagies, and it should be, like, shaved steak with peppers and onions and... provolone and possibly mushrooms and possibly mayo. But up there, it's tomato sauce.
At the one place it was.
Yeah, that was... Well,
and it wasn't like... And it was like a big elongated hamburger steak thing.
It was weird.
Yeah.
So we're glad we had a good breakfast.
Yeah.
That's another pro tip. Always check out the food vendor section of the website for the Fiber Festival you're going to. You might want to pack a lunch.
Absolutely.
Then we went to Columbus.
Columbus for TNNA, and...
We let Janice pick the restaurant for dinner.
And she picked a good one.
She did.
It was called The Table.
The Table.
And, of course, you might want to Uber if you're ever in Columbus to go to The Table, because there's no parking.
Zero parking. There's a parking lot out back. But
all the spots say, you know, reserve for so-and-so apartment at this or this office, and so
there were actually, what, like three total parking places for the restaurant?
Yeah.
And big signs everywhere that says, no hookah! No hookah parking!
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, we don't want to hookah, so can we park here?
Right.
But we ended up parking on the street, and at TNNA, we had the big Tahoe, so that's always a challenge. We actually have gotten a much smaller car to drive when we we go to town or to the city of Pittsburgh or anything, because...
But that worked out well, because we went to dinner with Janice and Brian and Lucy and her husband,
Chris.
And so the six of us all fit in the Tahoe, and we went. So we only had to worry about parking one vehicle.
Yeah, because there wouldn't have been parking for three at all. But that place was amazing.
Yes, they had,
it was farm to table as much as possible. And they had, you see, there's a theme with us. We do farm to table whenever possible. So they had, they ordered a charcuterie plate that was all house-made cured meats, house-made roulettes, house-made terrines, house-made pâté.
Yeah.
And then three amazing local cheeses.
Yeah. Oh, that stuff
there was a cheddar and a Manchego-like sheep's milk cheese.
Yeah, and then a good blue cheese.
And then an amazing blue cheese. That blue cheese, I would have brushed my teeth with that blue cheese.
Yeah.
That was delicious.
Yeah. And,
and we had like a bottle of red, and...
And me and Brian both had, like, mint juleps.
Yep.
And it was a little different than a normal mint julep, but it was still really good.
What'd you have for dinner?
I had the transparent noodle thing, noodle bowl.
Oh, with
the
glass seafood. Noodles.
Glass noodles, yes. Yeah.
The Thai chili glass noodles.
Thai chili glass noodles. It with, and it had like shrimp and scallops and
fun fact about Scooter Pie, he really digs Thai food.
Calamari.
Which, looking at him, you'd never guess.
Yeah. And it had peanuts and green beans and onion. It was just, it was all so fresh and so good, and the seafood was cooked perfectly. And what did you have there?
I had the tagliatelle bolognese.
Yes.
Because if ever given an opportunity to have spaghetti and meatballs in any form, that's generally what I eat. I got that from my dad. We called him Spaghetti Eddie.
Yes.
Because he liked to travel around to all of the fundraiser spaghetti dinners. And he seemed to... We called it the Eatin' for Jesus hotline. Because every time there was a fundraiser, a spaghetti dinner, some of his buddies would call him and he'd be like, "Hey, don't make any plans for Tuesday. We're going Eatin' for Jesus." Which is the term that we sort of came up with for all of the church suppers that occur around us. Because out here in the rural community... there are a lot of fundraisers for kids with cancer or,
the local fire halls, obviously the local churches, dinners.
And they're always super good. There's ham and turkey suppers. There's, Stinkerbell has just crawled into my limb. That's weird.
Yeah.
But the primary one that he loved so much was the spaghetti dinners. So...
Yeah.
I order spaghetti wherever we go. But this was tagliatelle bolognese, which everybody knows
is... I think your dad would have eaten spaghetti like 7 nights a week if he could.
He would. And he would have went to a fundraiser for things that we didn't even believe in if they were serving spaghetti.
Yeah.
So anyways. Stinkerbell. Okay. Sorry for the crinkling. That was my dog crawling into the brown paper for my loom. Anyways... We had that, and Janice had amazing short ribs. And they were in this Cabernet wine reduction sauce thing that she made me taste, and I'm telling you what, it was very, very difficult for me to not just lick her plate. I mean, we're friends, but I don't know if we're lick your plate kind of friends.
Right.
So it was really, really amazing, and we really loved that. We would definitely go back if we were in Columbus again. But the hidden gem that Danielle from Fiberspace turned us on to when we went with her and Olga Jazzy for lunch...
is right outside the convention center is the North Market.
Oh, my God.
And if you've never been to Columbus to the North Market, it's... I don't even know how to describe it. I mean...
So... Imagine taking, like, 30 food trucks and removing the trucks and stuffing them all into one building and then people walking everywhere.
Yeah. Well, and it wasn't just food trucks. I mean, it wasn't just places to eat. There was, like...
There was a fishmonger.
A cheese place.
There was a kitchenware store.
Yeah.
And then some amazing and wonderful places to eat. But yeah. They were all, like, little handmade, made-to-order, you know, local ingredient places. Everything was super fresh and absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
Like, I went to Taste of Belgium because...
Crepes
and frites are... They're magical.
Yeah.
And I literally watched them make my traditional crepe and fill it with an egg and ham and Gruyere and honey mustard.
Mm.
And then they gave me the option for my frites whether I wanted them cooked in beef tallow or vegetarian. And I had a choice between curry ketchup and chipotle mayo for dipping for the frites.
Mm.
I mean, everything was so good. I ate it all.
Yeah. And I went to Market and Boer and had a brisket sandwich with two sides, which was like $13. But if you would have seen the four huge hunks of brisket that were on this sandwich, it was totally worth it.
Yeah, and then for dessert, you ended up at Jenny's Splendid Ice Cream, which nobody saw that coming.
Right.
You do that every time you can.
Right.
But they talked me into trying a bubble tea.
Which was really weird.
It was really weird. We ended up getting the bursting bubbles, which I didn't know the difference at the time. Now I do. And they were blueberry, so it was a very weird sensation. I had raspberry tea with these blueberry bursting bubbles. And so when I would suck the tea up through the straw, I would get these, like, explosions of stuff I had to chew. And it was a very interesting... I would not do that again. It was a very interesting sensation.
Yeah, iced tea you have to chew is not exactly a good thing.
Right. And then we also, here at home, we went on a double date with our friends Beth and Lee.
Yeah.
And they live in Morgantown, which is only about 30 miles from the farm.
That's West Virginia now.
Yep. Morgantown, West Virginia. The other Motown.
Yep.
And we went to a new place called Morgantown Flower and Feed. And I wanted to love it.
Yeah. It looked really cool. We like the name. But I don't know if we just had a really bad experience there. Although some of Lee's friends have said, oh, I could have told you not to go there. But
it was farm to table. It was locally sourced as much as possible.
Yeah.
The menu looked amazing. But there were some epic fails. Like,
yeah.
My salad was spectacular. I had a watermelon salad. The only knock I could give it is there were black watermelon seeds in my salad, which it took me a few bites to realize were not some sort of crunchy topping. They were actually just watermelon seeds. Because, you know, it's dimly lit to be romantic and all, so you can't see that you're eating things you shouldn't be eating.
Yeah.
And Beth had, she said, the worst gazpacho of her life.
Right. And we had ordered two appetizers for the table. Fried calamari, which was all right. I mean, fried calamari bad. Well, I mean, you can, but...
But it seemed to be fresh. It didn't seem to be, you know, ringlets out of the freezer, too.
Right. And pierogies.
And the pierogies were spectacular.
The pierogies were really good.
But then I had the twin fillets, and they had dual sauces, and one was an au poivre sauce, which should be a peppercorn sauce, and it was somehow made with mustard seeds.
Yeah.
And the other sauce, well, I'm not quite sure what it was supposed to be, but it tasted like peanut butter and jelly sauce.
You know, he said it was a plum sauce.
But it tasted like peanut butter and jelly, and that doesn't go on a fillet.
Yeah. I had scallops.
Your scallops were scallops mole, too. And you generally love mole.
Yeah. And the mole was... I mean, I guess I should have expected that, you know...
Mole in West Virginia is not as good as...
Yeah. as...
Mole other places.
Yeah.
But all in all, we had a wonderful evening with friends.
Yeah. And the other thing that was bad about it is we were there for over 2 hours.
Before the entrees came.
Before the entrees came.
And when we mentioned something to the owners, they actually went in the back and got the ticket for our meals and came out and shoved it in our faces to tell us what time the meals went into the kitchen. And it had still been an hour and a half.
Yeah.
After the ticket went into the kitchen, but I didn't really think that that was a way you should handle customer service to, like, try to prove us wrong. I couldn't control when the server actually entered our ticket into the computer.
Right.
So I don't know why having the ticket shoved in my face was supposed to prove to me that I was wrong, that I didn't, you know, sit there for 2 hours. But if we heard good things about it, I would go back. I mean, if
we heard that it turned around and was getting better.
It was in, like, an old feed store. It was very cool.
It was.
It was very cool. We wanted to love it. We wanted it to be our new place.
Yeah. And the other thing about it is they didn't seem to really have a focus on what...
It was kind of all over the place.
It was kind of all over the place.
There was barbecue and seafood, Mexican style.
Yeah.
And high-end steakhouse, and it was sort of all over the place. You're right, it was.
Yeah.
So what you watching?
What am I watching? Well, I mean, of course, Days of Our Lives.
Okay, so that's just between us, okay? Just between us and the listeners, we are actually sort of obsessed with Days of Our Lives. That's like our treat in the evening when everything is done. We finally get to kick back and catch up with the people of Salem. So don't tell anybody. You guys are the only ones that know, all right?
Yeah.
It's top secret. But we just finished watching Timeless.
Timeless, which, that was a really cool show.
Which was then canceled, and we had such a hissy fit as fans of the show that they actually reversed the decision and are bringing it back for a second season.
Yay!
So if you haven't seen Timeless on NBC, go watch it now and get ready for season two, because even the Smithsonian is talking about what a good show this is. It's historically based, but it has a lot of intrigue and drama. And it's up there with The Librarians for us.
Yeah. And it's got that sci-fi element because they're time traveling.
It's just a really good show.
Yeah.
And we're getting really long here, so we'll get through this really quickly. I'm also obsessed with Riverdale.
I've only watched one episode of that, and it looked really cool.
So the premise is that it's the characters and the setting of the Archie comics series that I read as a kid, but for a new generation. So, like, they have cell phones, they, you know, drive modern vehicles, they have all the problems that modern people have, but there's a lot of throwback to that 50s era.
Yeah.
Of the original Archie comics. All the characters you love are there. Archie, Veronica, Betty, Jughead.
Yeah, it's like if you took the Archie Moose, characters everybody. And put them in, like, Mean Girls or something.
Yeah. Or Gossip Girl.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
Heathers.
And they're all trying to solve the disappearance of one of their classmates. And it's a really, really good show. Lots of twists and turns you don't see coming. And the end of season one leaves you just hoping for season two. And it's a Netflix original, so it's already been renewed for season two, and I can't wait to see where that goes. I'm still waiting for my next season of Grace and Frankie and Fuller House, because I love those two as well. The other one, so when Riverdale was over, my Netflix suggested Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, and you haven't seen this one yet, but I think you're going to love it. It's ridiculous. I'll let you look it up on your own because we are running long. But it has periods when they just sort of burst into song and do a musical number. So it's very sort of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend meets Glee is the only way I can sort of describe it. Like, there's, you know, there's some funny parts, there's some dramatic parts, there's some intrigue, and then we all sing. So it's very entertaining. I really do enjoy it. So our last little tidbit for you here is word on the street is that registration is over half sold out for the second Disney retreat. We have Laura Linneman, Laura Ayler, Tanis Gray, and Liz Gibson coming for great classes. I mentioned the evening events, and the catering is going to be phenomenal. And Four Pearls Yarn Shop is putting on a mega market with demos and mini classes that is not to be missed. I'm super obsessed with this. And like, I'm so glad that we're doing this because I get to go.
And they've got special things lined up for the market that I don't know if we're going to mention just yet, but...
But neat things.
But you're going to want to be there.
Yeah. And that's all at the Coronado Springs Resort. We do have a small block of discounted rooms available, and we're at about 60% sold out on those, too. So if you're thinking of coming...
You better get it done.
Yeah, get your registrations in. Because once we get back on the road and start promoting this at our shows, I'm pretty sure it's going to fill up fast.
Yeah.
There's only a few spots left in some of the big major all-day classes. Because
they're awesome.
The teachers are amazing.
Yeah.
So that's it for us for today.
Yep.
And we'll catch up with you in a couple of weeks. Once again, you can find us in the Ravelry group, Transient Wool Merchants, on transientwoolmerchants.com. My Instagram and pretty much everything else is Ross Farm Fibers. Please join our Facebook group. Follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm Scooter Pie the Shepherd Guy on Instagram.
And don't forget to leave us reviews, and we love getting feedback. If there's something you love, tell us. If there's something you hate, tell us. We'll take it out.
But I just started.
Nobody hates you, honey.
I know.
You're adorable.
I know.
So we will catch up with you in a couple of weeks. Keep those noodles clicking.